You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy. If you're moving house, call your local energy retailer Red Energy. And for Wilson Homes, celebrating the biggest cash discount ever. Bruce Eva and Sam McClure with you for the next hour. Chris Anstey to talk all things basketball. Before we welcome our special guest in the studio, though, welcome back, Beaver.
Thanks, Sammy. Good to see you. Good to be here. Hump day.
Yeah, Wednesdays are always a bit tough, but plenty to talk about tonight, which makes it a little bit easier. Let's go to our very special guest. We only get the guns in live in studio. Chloe Malloy is exactly that, one of Collingwood's absolute stars, a two-time All-Australian, rising star in 2018, leading goal kicker this season, and hopefully we'll continue that next season, although we don't know when that's going to start. Welcome, Chloe.
Thanks, Sammy. You read the script that I gave you perfectly,
yeah,
so I appreciate that.
That's right. Yep, you made sure you messaged it in. Well, we'll talk about the CBA shortly, but just tell us what you're doing right now in the off-season, and I guess what's linked to that is you're trying to prepare for a season that you don't know exactly when it's going to start.
Yeah, look, off-season, pre-season, whatever you kind of want to call it, but I am working. I've just moved down to part-time to try and balance an athlete life.
What do you do for work?
Working with Fox Sports News.
Yeah, perfect. Just wanted everyone to get that.
We are just providing content for the show, AFL Tonight, so I love it, and I'm pretty blessed to be in that environment, in that sporting one. And yeah, the crew that I work with is great. So doing that and then just looking after this young, fit body.
And how? So what does training entail at the moment? A gym versus running versus footy?
There's some skill-based stuff, but it's more just for me, the season can be real full-on and footy does get really full-on. So when we are in that off-season part, I try to stay away from that and just more so enjoy just some volume runs, yep. Doing a lot of stuff with the speed project at the minute, trying to get a bit faster, and then Pilates and just really doing kind of other things other than footy related just to look after the body, yep. Just refreshing things.
So were you any chance to play in the VFLW season? And what percentage of AFLW girls actually do play in the VFLW?
I personally wasn't any chance. I was carrying an injury throughout the season. So they kind of, when we get to the end of it, because the seasons aren't aligned at all. Well, not at all, just slightly. I wasn't a chance to play any VFLW this year. I do remember in my first AFLW season I played because I was younger. It's more you'll see a lot of the younger AFLW girls, the ones maybe that didn't get a game or trying to break into the side or even trying to earn a contract with the club who'll be playing in the VFLW. So those discussions are had pretty quickly after the season, whether you will play straight away or whether you'll just kind of wrap you up in bubble wrap. So you probably won't see anyone over the age of 22 playing in the VFLW.
Chloe, how are we at late May and still not knowing when your season's going to start? I mean, I understand there is an AFL perspective that the competition is relatively still in its infancy, but surely we shouldn't be at this point and you not have a start date or a deal to be playing.
Yeah, look, it is probably disappointing because we knew in March that the August start date was floated. And since then, my personal opinions evolved on the August start date. I, at the beginning, was a bit apprehensive about it and have come to terms with that. Okay, we want to be in the sporting calendar. We want to be in a time slot that's going to get the viewership, that's going to have the people roll in for the crowds. It's going to actually have a permanent spot in the sporting calendar. That is absolutely hectic. But to get to where we are now and to possibly have pre-season starting, you know, in a couple of weeks and still no certainty around what's happening, it is really stress-provoking. There's a lot of anxiety surrounding it. And the PA have been really good in being really transparent with us players and have been pushing for a respectful deal to be done. And that's why it has taken so long, is because the AFL and the AFLPA haven't come to an agreement. And, you know, they may be close, and Gil came out and said within 24 hours, 36 hours, we're going to have a done deal, which was good because that put the pressure on coming to an agreement. It isn't looking like it's going to be the one that we wanted, but it's going to be something for now. And then hopefully after that's been seen out, we can push a little bit harder in what's fair for the growth of women's football.
So what's the level of communication been like from headquarters? And what, judging from that answer, what's the level of frustration if you had to mark it out of 10?
Look, everyone's going to have a different frustration level depending on what's happening in their lives. For me, I've got a workplace that's super understanding. and I have gone to part-time. So my level of frustration is still probably maybe an 8 out of 10 because I'm quite empathetic and I've heard stories of what's happening with other players. So I'm very frustrated for a better term. But in terms of hearing from headquarters, do you mean the PA or the AFL?
No, the AFL.
We don't usually have direct contact with the headquarters straight with Nicole and Gil. It's normally through the PA, and I couldn't be grateful enough for the PA and how they've represented us, and they've constantly updated us. They've called Zooms. We had 120 players on a Zoom the other night, and even if there is no update, they're still updating us. And a lot of it has been done behind closed doors because they don't want to, I guess, upset the hand that's feeding us, which is AFL headquarters. So their communication's been great, and in terms of headquarters, we never really directly communicate with them anyway. So I doubt that we would get it.
So is it a one-year deal that you think you'll arrive at?
I think, well, what's
or
going
on? One-season deal?
Yeah, so look, they've dated it back. Discussions was being had the second that August start date was floated, and our CBA was finishing up in April,
yep.
Our current one. So that had to, the PA were like, all right, well, let's get on top of this. And they just have never come close to an agreement. So it is looking like it may have to be settle for a one-year deal. And the ins and outs of that, I think, are going to be discussed tonight with the PA and the delegates and the captains. But what I am hearing is that we'll settle for a one-year deal. And then hopefully from there, we can push a little bit harder in the next two and possibly even join with our kind of join the CBA with the men.
Yeah. Okay. So I think people who have listened to this show enough know my view on this, and it's not necessarily a popular one, but I think about it strongly, and I've only gotten stronger in the last couple of months about it. My personal view, Chloe, is that I think that the men should help fund the women's game. I think the men have had it really good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've become a little bit entitled. And I think them not putting their hands in their own pockets for a very small amount to help fund the women's game has slowed this whole process down.
Yep.
I guess for you, it's probably not just about the money, but money always helps. Like, you're playing professional sport at the end of the day.
Well, I call it a job and you get paid to do a job.
That's right. So, I think that whatever the increase looks like it's going to be this year, it's going to be somewhere between 80, 90 or 100% year on year.
Mm-hmm.
By that. What are the other things that you want as a professional player,
yep,
out of this game and out of the AFL? What are you working towards?
Well, I'll even go back just a little bit there. Like, we're not, a sense of entitlement has come across sometimes with the AFLW players, but we're not asking to be paid the same as the men.
Yep.
They are two very different products. That is,
one's 100 years old and the
correct.
Other one's less than 10.
And fair enough to them. So they've earned their way and they've earned their stripes and they've earned the right to be getting paid what they are. It's ludicrous amounts, but they work hard for it and they've gotten to a point where it can be that. And AFLW might get there one day, but...
And it's funded by broadcast rights, do you?
Absolutely, yep. Which is not something that's happening in the AFLW space at the minute. But in terms of what we're wanting, it's growth. Like, we've had people from headquarters come out and say, we want to grow the game. It's not a side piece. We want to grow the women's game.
Got four new teams coming in.
We've got four new teams. That came kind of, sort of out of nowhere. Like, we're bringing expansions happening. We're starting in August. So we're like, yep, okay, well, no worries. That's happening. We're adjusting our lives. Like, mind you, we are part-time athletes, which is not a thing in my eyes. You can never be a part-time athlete. We want a premiership. So we're going to do everything we can to get that. We're asking for growth. You bring four teams in. I just think it...
Are you going to play more games?
I think a no answer is an answer there, but...
Well, you can't have a competition that not everyone plays each other once, can you, Beagle?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so, and that was going to be my next question. So is Utopia 17 games? Where does it currently sit at the moment? Are we miles apart, as in the Players Association representing you guys and headquarters in terms of the length of the season? Is that almost the biggest sticking point outside of the salary cap?
Yeah. Look, what we're asking for is more games. At the minute, it's 10 and 4, and there's been no proposed growth with what the AFL have come to the PA with. And the PA have gone, absolutely not. We're in two different time zones with that. That's not happening. That's not fair on the girls. We want to grow the game. You know, the AFL came out and said by 2030, we want the game to be full-time. And then the PA have pushed, no, let's make it full-time by 2026. So we're all working towards that. But I I can't really comprehend how we work towards that when we're not having more games yet introducing more teams.
Mm.
And we're being pushed and pulled, start in August, or we're not starting, you know, there's no real certainty. But hey, we don't really want it. We want to grow your game, but we're not going to put the appropriate steps in place for it.
Chloe, if Beaver wasn't here, the guy sitting in this chair where I am, Jared,
yes,
if he wasn't surfing, would be making this point to you. So I thought I probably should do it on behalf of
good
you.
Evening, Jedder, if you're listening.
Hello,
in.
Hello, Jared. Yeah, I hope you're enjoying Jared. Your gins after a surf. He would say that, you know, when he was dominating footy, well, he wouldn't use that term, but I am, that the best years of his life was when he was playing while also working on the side.
Mm.
And that he thinks the AFLW has a unique opportunity to still be professional athletes, but part-time hours. And, you know, you were saying there's no such thing as a part-time athlete, which I can completely take on face value. But, you know, you like someone like an Ellie Blackburn, who's a good friend of the show, who works for the Pancake Parlor. I'm just interested in your perspective. Would you love to continue to work in the media, whether it's with Fox or it's someone else, and still play footy? Or is your passion and your utopia, to use Beaver's term, that you want to be an AFL footballer 7 days a week, 9 months of the year?
My utopia, I want to play football full time. And I think part of that still would be, I wouldn't consume myself with football. I have become very self-aware that footy isn't everything to me, and I need to have some other outlet. So yes, we want full time. Like we invest our bodies and everything. Like an athlete's tool is their body, and it hurts at times, and you go through certain challenges. And at the minute, I'm trying to rehab a back. So there is so many hours that we put into being an athlete that I'm like, yeah, I want that full time. Why would I not want that full time when I do everything? It might not even be 7 days, but it's 7 days to me. But I would still have something on the side. And I think Jared's so right. We are in a unique position that we do have something. You know, it is a part-time job at the minute, but I also don't think that that can be maintained.
It's not sustainable.
It's
in
not
your
sustainable
eyes.
At okay. all. And but I do think that any athlete should have something outside of their respected or chosen sport.
Chloe, now that it's behind us, just how tough was it to play the competition in the height of summer? Was it, you know, now it's behind, so we're looking in the in
given
the
it was built as a winter sport.
Yeah, exactly. And now with the change of dates, obviously going to start late August during the men's bye round. But
possibly.
Possibly.
Allegedly.
But just how tough was it to play in the at the height of summer?
Oh, it's some of the games and some of the heat that it got to was, I wouldn't normally say it, but sometimes I was like, I'm glad it's quite short because I can't stand out here any longer. And I remember one game in Darwin up when it was peak season, it got to nearly 40 degrees. And I remember I was a defender back then and I would switch players so I could be on the side with the shadow, so I could get a break. But
that's like me every day, just steering clear of the sun.
But we don't know any different in a sense that it's always been a summer sport to us. So we've really just become accustomed to it, and we've trained in the lead up to it. I mean, Melbourne doesn't know if it's Arthur or Martha sometimes, so we kind of get all seasons in one day. But it is challenging, and to play in that heat, and we play peak times at like 2 p.m., which the UV then is like excruciating. So it has been a challenge, and I think it'll be even more of a challenge to go to a Melbourne winter if it happens.
Can I ask you about Nicole Livingston, Chloe? There's been some negative connotations around her role with swimming, and particularly this, I think it's a Prime documentary coming up. Is she the leader that the AFLW wants in your eyes?
In terms of what's been happening recently, I know she is at the swimming, and look, that might have been a prior commitment that it's just the timing's been really off. It's not a great look. I know if I was in a position of hers, I'd want to be around for what's happening where, you know, AFLW players have been coming out and saying we're frustrated, we're upset, we're angry, and
there's
people,
confusion, there's doubt,
and these people are meant to be kind of protecting us. So it's like being left in a shopping centre and your mum and dad just leave you. You're a bit like, oh my god, what am I doing? Like, please help me. I'm not like.
So mum being
where
Nicole and dad being Gil going to the States.
Yeah, right. it is that is a great comparison. Like, we're just here in aisle five being like, help me out. Like, I don't really know where to go. But in terms of who we want leading us, she has been great for the game. Like, I have a great relationship with her. And when all this stuff kind of started, I rang her and she picked up the phone and we had a good chat about, you know, I was like, you know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And she gave her side and I gave my side and we agreed and we disagreed and it was one of the healthiest conversations I've had and we left the phone call all good. I just, I think the absence of her, it probably hurts a little bit just in this time. And it could have been a prior commitment and it probably was and it's aspirations that she has. But yeah, just come. We're in our fold if you want to come get us.
Collingwood star Chloe Malloy is our special guest on Sports Day. Chloe, despite the uncertainty around the start of the season and the length of the season, there is still a stack of player movement going on at the moment. Just like, Sam, your email inbox every day, you're just bombarded.
Crazy.
With who's going. You've lost a couple of your teammates just as of today, Ebony O'Day and Bella Smith on the move. Has that been not so much unsettling, but I guess it's just part and parcel of with the expansion and the four new franchises to complete the competition. But by gee, it's off the charts at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, I will never hold it against anyone. This game needs to grow, and that's what I've been a big advocate in, is we need to grow the AFLW. And if it means that we've got to lose some players to other teams, as much as it's heartbreaking, I don't want anyone to leave a club, but if it means that they're going to go and enjoy their footy, a new experience, and the league's going to grow, then like absolutely go for it. And we're in a position where we're bringing in, you know, we're going to have 18 teams now. So we want teams. We don't want a situation where you've got absolute peltings of teams where there's 100 point losses. I mean, I would like to beat a team by 100 points because it means I've probably kicked a few goals. but it is a bit of me time. But it's just a thing of the AFLW at the moment. But in terms of the expansion, it's commitments even. This is back to our issue of what's happening. Girls are committing.
Yeah.
There's no signing or anything. All these word of mouth. There's no official trade, because we don't even know when a trade period is. So there's all these commitments and there's girls going into state, but it's like, oh, well, I'll just sit on my hands or like have a cup of tea and just wait until there's an answer and then I can sort my life out. And that's been one of the issues, is we don't know what to do with our lives at the minute. We are trying to organise. We're trying to be humans. We're trying to have holidays. We're trying to organise work. We're trying to put our rosters in. It's so stress provoking that it's beyond ridiculous. And it is quite hard for a lot of players. And chatting to a few, there's just a sense of absolute frustration in that. We want to plan our lives, but we can't even do that because there is no certainty in what the AFLW looks like. And we want to be playing, but we're also human at the end of the day.
Now, I'm not going to ask you who, so you have to be honest about the number. How many clubs have tried to poach you this year?
I have had about four.
Okay, now you tell us who.
I'll tell you off the record.
And before you go, so the role in the media, what does that, in your perfect world, end up looking like during career, post career? Don't look over here.
Oh no, I'm looking at your chair, being like, Sam. Oh, yeah. I wanted over there.
The way she's going, she's already got it. I mean,
if I get coffees delivered by the guests, then I'll surely take your job. But
coffee.
I got a coffee and you didn't.
Well, I don't drink tea or coffee, but I do drink hot chocolate. But that's all right. It's been noted.
Baby,
next time,
Baby, you might have needed a coffee today, I reckon.
Thank you, Samuel.
What do I want to do? I'm not too sure. I really
on camera.
Yeah, I've been told I've got a head for radio. Probably heard that a few times.
Oh, too. I haven't heard that. Beaver has.
I use that quite often.
Hasn't come by
myself.
My desk, actually. No.
I think some on-camera stuff. As I mature, maybe go to the hosting sort of thing. But
yeah,
not too sure yet. Just kind of finding my feet in the media department. But got a lot of good role models and a lot of good people
you
working
do.
With.
So. Drew Jones, Kat Durkin, you've got
plenty
of good
ones. Shout out Tony Escott as well, Sam Conway, you're there.
The great Esky.
It's a long way down the track, but obviously we've seen the conversation in recent months about Daisy and whether she's going to play on. Do you long-term want to coach? Would you like to coach? As you said, it is a long way down the track, given your age.
Look, I reckon we could probably clip this bit of audio up. I think I'd give coaching a crack.
Clip that up,
Lawrence. Clip it up, time stamp it. If it got to a point at the end of my career, I think I'd take up coaching. I just think I'd have way too much FOMO being removed from it and, Footy clubs are great environments to be in. So, yeah, I would put my hand up for coaching for sure.
Chloe, absolute joy to have you on. Thanks so much for coming in. Let's do it regularly.
Thank you, Jensen. I'll get you hot chalky next time.
Gotcha. Thanks, Chloe.
Chloe Loy, AFLW star from the Collingwood Footy Club. And
She'd look good with a little bit more red in the jumper, wouldn't she?
Yeah, well, navy blue as well, I think.
Well, she's already got black and white. Just add some red to it.
Yeah.
No comment.
I thought she'd gone.
More sports day after this.